has not really gone to some of the places I've gone, and because sometimes of the problems with guys who are on drugs, marijuana grows everywhere wild in the mountains around us, and so sometimes we have young guys who are not all there, but she got a few chances to come with me, and she said people wouldn't believe it unless they saw it, and so I don't know if it's stupid faith, but sometimes I drive over bridges where when your tires start to overlap the edges of the bridges, you know, that you think, well, I got to get to this place, and the Lord protects and watches over us. Grant threw something at me just a second ago, and we can do this, Grant, if you want to, but you have to either somehow encourage Julie to come help me. He said, when a preacher, what did you say?
He said, well, we have a preacher on Sunday evening, because they didn't let you know already, you have to sing a solo.
Okay.
You indicated you did that this morning. The key word was solo.
Okay. Can everybody clap here? Maybe we'll get Julie up with a clap. I'm going to turn this mic off. He loves to hear them both, but anyway. What do we sing? Do you know? You remember the song, This Pilgrim? She hasn't been there for a while. This Pilgrim, you know, we like.
Oh, yeah.
And then... yeah, we'll get to the cop. What we typically do, because of the mix, we get people on the highway that know the trade language, and we get people who are coming into our tribe marrying from another tribe, so they don't know our tribal language. So we often do songs in both languages. So this will be just a quick short one, so you get a taste of the trade language first, and then the cafe language.
Are you ready?
Okay. This pilgrim di no below me, me come sanap, sanap daso, me save. This pilgrim di no below me, di no below me. All angel, when he bugle cry, door below heaven and by oak, me save. This pilgrim di no below me. I'm a mopa, I'm the green mopa on that nay. I'm the oti, oti nwe. I'm a mopa, I'm the green mopa on that nay, on that nay. I'm getting more, moving gaffa, mona gaffa, nagi gahe. I'm a mopa, I'm the green mopa on that. She remembered the words better than me. Thank you, Julie. So the first part is the trade language, and then the second part is cafe. So it's amazing when you walk around. I've got to get a list together sometime just of the names of God. The names you've got, I don't know. The names I know of God is Wapakumu, Tupangwa, Tuanumaza. Those are just some of the names. Our brother probably bring some others in there, but... a name for God in all these different tribal languages. Okay, are we on? Great. Sorry about that. So anyway, yes, you walk around and you say kinige, that's afternoon, and in another language you say atamine. And so it's some of those people get married into our tribe, and I say, oh, how do you say good afternoon, or how do you say this, and you begin to learn some other different words. And I kind of forget some of the other languages pretty quickly because I'm more concentrated trying to remember cafe, which is difficult enough. Very difficult languages just to learn. The mountain language is very foreign. Get root words, which are, you might have the word Nefa is father, but you would never say Nefa. Like they go, what? Nefa doesn't mean anything. But you have to pull it apart and you start chucking stuff in the middle like my father or your father, and then you say things about your father, and that all, you throw words, syllables in the middle of those words and begin to make these things that stretch out sometimes to 20 plus letters before you get a word finished. And it's amazing they're able to read and to understand their own language after these things stretch out as far as they do. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. That's the point I've been sharing this morning, that there would be people who would be committed to go. We looked at this morning the fact that there are less and less people who are going around the world to actually see New Testament assemblies established and to preach the gospel and to see people discipled and be able to carry on the work. So we'll just look at a few pictures of Papua New Guinea, just to remind you a little bit about what it's like there. And there it is. It's not in Africa. It's north of Australia. Still got some kids who are asking me, I think, is it in Africa, South America? We're not sure. Not here. Had a lot of rains. You can pray for the people right now. Some of our believers have lost their gardens. That's their livelihood. And so it's been very difficult. A lot of heavy, heavy rains. And so a lot of mudslides and whatnot made things difficult for them. So if you can remember them in prayer. Again, this is our typical market. And we had an extra amount of rain when we were headed home too. And made markets and that kind of messy. Miss Piggy, I usually stay away from her up in the left corner there. Kind of gets a little dirty in that corner. These are some of the good things they eat. And we've gotten so far, so we got used to eating, able to eat June bugs, something like a June bug on the right side, and chicken heads. I've been waiting for Jean to feed me some chicken heads, but she hasn't done that yet. I'm looking for it in the soup at Grant's too, and it wasn't at Grant's, anyway. But a lot of protein, Grant, and some of those grub worms and whatnot. They like to eat them raw. I wouldn't mind eating a grub when it was cooked, but I'd have to swallow pretty fast. They got really big ones the size of my fingers, and the island people especially, they just, three or four at a time, they just, delicacy. Just love it. Well, don't we eat something like this wonderful name called caviar? Don't we eat something raw like that? We're kind of tribal ourselves, aren't we? Anyway, on top of the roof here is a guy, a little kid. And you heard this morning about Fimo. He's one of our major preachers there who helps us. And we're driving up the road, and he said, stop the car. He said, before we were leaving the village. And I said, what? He said, I gotta call up to this lady, this relative of mine. She's having a baby right now. And so he called up, did she have the baby? And they yelled, yes, she had the baby. They're way up the mountain. What should we call it? He calls back up. He said, call it De Jager. So anyway, sitting on the roof is De Jager. Not saved yet, I don't think, but you can pray. He's starting to come out to the meeting, and pray for his father, too, who doesn't really come out. Some of the gardens that are up higher, even above us further in the mountains, get some wonderful gardens there. And again, when they get washed out, it makes it very difficult for the people. Typical little steps that they like to carve into the side of the mountains there, to get up and down the mountains, pretty slippery. And when you go to do something like, anybody see already? When you go to, somebody says, well, you haven't visited me in a long time. And I just live across the other side there. And, yeah, but that's 1 hour down, and you cross the river, and then you get up the other side, and by the time you get the other side, it's a good hike. So anyway, it's a little further than it looks sometimes. Jennifer, a lot of people think that Jennifer's with us when we're back in Papua New Guinea this time, but Jennifer's basically gone 9 weeks at a time and comes home for 2.5 weeks. So she was out at the mission base, made a lot of good friends. So we often miss her and was very glad when she would come home. One time she called up, she says, Dad, I don't want to come home this time. I want to go to a friend's tribe, because she's used to just driving into a tribe, never flew in a little plane and stuff like that, into a tribal location. So she had the opportunity, had a lot of fun, and a bunch of girls actually went out and they spent their break there. And so as you're flying over these mountainous places, you see all these little hamlets, these little villages that are on these ridges. And of course, she was thinking, and I'm thinking, who's taking them the gospel? And inevitably, more than likely, there'll be some denomination that does not teach the gospel. We'll get there first. And unfortunately, some of us who should be taking the gospel there are not quite as quick as we should have been. Anyway, you're flying along, and anywhere, this one wasn't as bad, but some of the little airstrips are pretty tiny looking when you're flying over these mountains. So here they are flying in and then landing on the airstrip. And then finally the pilot jumps out, makes sure everything's okay, and before everybody gets out, and gives the people, the missionaries, their supplies. So that was an opportunity for Jennifer to get out. But this is how we get to our tribe first by, this is the Highlands Highway, the main artery that's running through Papua New Guinea. This is our paved highway, and if you can imagine, just in the last 3 years to 4 years, they found gas way up in the north end. So every day now there are tractor trailers going by. Things, I've worked at a mine before, but there are things on these tractor trailers I've never seen before, and they're finding natural gas, and the equipment and the stuff that goes by every day, and these people are, they're just looking at it, and they're just thinking, And where's everything going? And should we steal stuff from some of these people and whatnot? And so these roads get pretty broken up after these. And so this little tiny bridges, big heavy tractor trailers going over them, taking a lot of stuff up north. I took this picture because I've heard somewhere from somebody that a statistic is that Papua New Guineans are the worst for looking after their vehicles. You can run on your first new vehicle. You don't have to change your oil for several years. It's fine that way. Yeah, just let it go. And then finally, they're not sure why they're doing this. But anyway, that's people from Papua New Guinea. When we got back, our lane was growing over and could hardly get up, but plowed through anyway with the truck. And then finally get up top, and this is our little area where we live. It's a bit sort of halfway up the mountain. And down below is my house, and our house, and we have a co-worker that also lives with us, a single gal from Sault Ste. Marie. And so a lot of grass, and we're thankful for the believers who come up and help us clean the place up and rake it all together and make it look a little different again. Also, some missionaries came by when we got back last time and helped us fix our house. It sits there for a year or so, and I cleaned out. There was about 13 bees' nests around our place, and so we chased them out, and our water supply system was also broken, and we're just thankful to the Lord for everybody who pitched in and helped us get going again. As soon as we got back, there was a school fundraiser that was off in an area where there was been a lot of criminals and not too many people go. Anyway, the government was going to show up there, and a lot of schools came together, and they dress up and everything like that, and they try to dance and see what groups win and hopefully collect some money for the school. Anyway, sure enough, some of the criminals turned the government around, and anyway, they went back the other way, and we had come a different way, Lois and I did, and way out in the bush somewhere, and slipping and sliding on these wooden bridges, and finally got there, and they came up to Lois and I said, "Can you two be the government officials of the day?" So we did, and it was an opportunity just to talk to them about the Lord, and I don't know how many people were there, probably, I wouldn't know, 500 to 1,000, somewhere in there, but there was a good opportunity just to share with them, and they were really open about us coming back, made some friends and contacts. It's not a good area, but the Lord can keep us safe, and as we travel through some of these areas where some guys are on drugs and things like that. Well, not long after that, our believers felt that it was time for us to build some sort of a little more permanent building. We just had a little open walls on the side of this sort of hut affair, pavilion, if you want to call it, and very rustic. But this is a hoop pine tree, and in that tree alone, just very, very tall. They stand way above, a lot taller than trees here, and able to cut that down, and that one tree was able to side our whole building. So we decided we would do this I don't know what kind of way, but we decided we would start slabbing wood, you know, like other missionaries have done. I don't know how they did it, but our boards were pretty pathetic and pretty crooked looking. We were really cutting straight there for a little while. But anyway, I knew that our neighbors in the next tribe had a Lucas walkabout sawmill, and we called them up, and they gave us a great price, and in the morning they finished it up, whereas we couldn't even handle one 8-foot log. I guess Printer killed us for one day trying to do that. And they whooped through the whole tree in a very short time. They also helped us with getting some 2x3s and whatnot. And so the people did a lot of work digging on the ground here. Up above, just to the left there, you can see where we would have met. And then there's a Sunday school place down below as well. Not long after, we were able to get some men to help us and get the cement down. And then finally begin to stand up the walls to this place. And we thank the Lord for another missionary or two coming along to help us who had a little more experience building. And that's our building there. There's probably been about 55 to 60 people saved, but a lot of people have moved away from work, so our meeting stays down to around 25 people, 30 people, adults that are saved. And then there's also some kids. So it's great having this time of building because it's kind of a new thing. They build with crooked old posts and round houses and stuff like that, and anything can go anyway, but just to get the idea of building things square and seeing this type of building was great for them. And so there it goes, tin going on the roof. And there's the siding on the outside of the building. And inside is not finished, but we were able to begin to have meetings and got enough windows in there so there's lots of light. And the people sit either on boards or they sit on these benches, so they were already working, taking the rest of the pieces of siding boards to make some benches. And I said, I'll get a square. A what? And so I came back, and some of the chairs were like this, and some are like that. But they stay like that, you know. They're not falling over. You might be leaning like this when you're listening to the preacher, but anyway, the message is still the same. One of the things that the Lord was really impressing on our hearts was the need for the older youth. They were just hanging around. There's, as we mentioned this morning, other denominations that don't preach the Word of God or don't preach a clear gospel message, one of works, and very mixed up. So the kids were just hanging around, and we finally got a chance to start a college and career youth program, and a good group came out and had a lot of fun. And of course, I changed the ball around for them once in a while and just play all kinds of different games with them. And they just came out, and I just stopped the games in the middle of it. I say, everybody sit down. And some of the moms and some of the dads, even from these other denominations, came out. And if the kids weren't listening, they even helped out and kind of said, sit down, he's going to teach now. And so they all sat down and listened, and then we'd finish, and they'd go back to playing for a while longer. And this has really been encouraging for them. They've really been excited that we would actually take the time out and just out from normal church setting and do something with them. So we have time of teaching, as I said, and then before we left, we had some fun games for them to do and some bit of Bible quiz to go over all the lessons I had taught, and they have a little bell there, and if whoever got it first would win a little candy or some treat or something like that. We also started Awana, and that's been really great too. So basically what happens is we have the Lord's Supper on Sunday morning, similar to here, and then we have the main meeting, and then we have we go home, we eat, and we come back down at 2 o'clock for Awana, and that goes till 4 o'clock, and then from 4 to 6 is the college and career. So our Sunday is a packed day, and our coworker Tracy, she's done a lot of work with Awana, so she kind of heads up a lot of things with the children, and we're just thankful to the Lord to see now that we've got young believers who are able to also take small groups, and Lois is often usually takes one of the small groups and also works with the Awana. And so we're just thankful for each one that participates and to see these kids come out. And they just really have, and they're coming from all these other, we have one denomination that always runs around our village and says, we're the true church. But yet their kids are saying, Mom and Dad, we want to go there. We hear a lot of good things there. And so it's been neat to see some of those kids come out and even a few come to know the Lord. And there's always time we need to take for a visitation to go out and see what's going on in the village. And Lois is out here visiting some of the ladies and seeing where some of them are at. Some of them have come to the meeting. Some of them may have left or been pulled away from other people and say, no, don't go there. There's Satan's church. That sort of talk was on. And but some of them have inevitably, when they look through what we teach, they realize that our teaching is just strictly from the Word of God. And some of these other places, especially one denomination, said, yeah, it's all as their teaching is straight from the Word of God, and we need to recognize that. So that's been great. One of the cultural things over there is namesaking. So people like to give their babies your name, so then you're responsible to give them little treats or something along the way. And so Jennifer here is holding a Jennifer, and Tracy, who is our coworker from Sault Ste. Marie, in the middle, the lady that's in the middle is holding a little Tracy. So that's kind of the way things work over there. Yes, it's good for us to get out of our office. I love keep working at the translation, Bible lessons, whatnot, but it's important for us to get out and visit the people and to take along some of, on the left here is F.A., who does some of our Bible teaching, and he comes along with me, and we visit some of the believers and then again visit some of the ones who are not believers. And it's just been difficult with some of our people in our area. They get sort of, if you can say, in a mild way, persecuted some days because of people saying that we're not the true church. You worship on Sunday, so you worship the sun god, is what they say. And they don't know what to, that's all as they use is things from outside the Word of God. They don't know how to handle the Word, but they just talk like that. So it's a big thing when they finally get to the place. They've been in, a lot of our believers have been in a church before, and finally now they're understanding baptism, so to get baptized is even a huger thing. They just really get accused for what they're doing or whatever, but they get a clear understanding now what baptism is for, and they realize that in their past life they never understood what it was. Baptism could be anything from some churches to thinking that it washes away your sin and you want to make sure you're not downstream or you're going to catch buddy sin who's going to come down the river and, yeah, that sort of thing happens. So there's a lot of weird, strange thinking about what baptism is. In our tribe, you get to have a bunch of flowers put around your neck when you get baptized. And that's done by our kids. They just go off, and here's the kids. They jump in the water as soon as we're done our baptism, go for a splash. But before that, they just run around the corner, and they're gone for a few minutes as we get set up for a baptism. And I do a little talking about baptism. And all of a sudden, the kids come back, and as soon as the people, the adults or whoever gets baptized come out, then they put a circle. Congratulations, here you go. And so that's one of the cultures, I guess, our kids have brought. One of the really big steps of growth in our church is that we're getting by this thing called jealousy because we can actually allow a national. It doesn't have to be a white man who's going to baptize. So they let Fimo, this is Fimo, who came down in the water and helped me baptize a few of the people. So anyway, we're just really excited for this change. This is Ari, and I took his picture, or I didn't take it, but I put this picture in there because he's one of the guys who, he's kind of like the disciples. You know, Jesus didn't pick the Pharisees to help him. He got these disciples. And you would have thought, well, Jesus would have picked somebody who would have known something about the Word of God. Well, this guy was a criminal, and he was a bad dude. And so he came up to me one day, and he said, Luke, I want to talk to you. And he'd been married, and he just had a son who's been him and his wife. The son and the wife had come out to the meetings. The wife had gotten saved. And finally, after a couple of years, he's finally come out. And he's just been a problem causer in our village. And so anyway, he said, can I talk to you? And I said, sure. And he said, I've not lived a good life. And he said, you know that. And he says, I've been pretty evil, actually. And he said, is there any hope that God could ever forgive somebody like me for what I've done? And I didn't answer that question right away. And I went back to remind him that he was a sinner and that he was lost. And he said, oh, I don't have any problem understanding that. And then we went back into the things that he had heard a little bit. He had come out to some of the teaching for a number of weeks. And so anyway, he went home after he never made any profession. He went home and he came back 2 weeks later. And I could tell that he was really wanting to believe, but he wanted to really make his life a little shinier before God so that God would accept him. And I said, no, God doesn't accept you that way. God accepts you only on the basis of Jesus Christ and his bloodshed. So he talked a bit more and he went back home and he came back another 2 weeks later. And he said, something true must have happened last night. He said, I've never cried before. I've never wept in my life. And he said, I was on my knees and he said, I wept because I began to realize that all that Jesus Christ had done, he'd actually done it for somebody as rotten as me. And he says, I'm a saved person. He said, I really believe. He said, I'm trusting in Christ. I said, if you're trusting in Christ, then God's forgiven you. And I said, we're brothers. And so next morning was Sunday morning, and his wife had told me, she said, I didn't know what was wrong with him. She said, I thought he'd gone bonkers or something. And she said, but here he'd gotten saved. And so I walked in the door, and he's there before me, and he grabs my hand. He says, so good to have you out, brother. Anyway, so no problem with being baptized or anything like that. It's he's just ready to do the work of the Lord. And so you can pray for him because he's got lots of temptations coming his way. And he knows all the bad guys. They did truck holds up. They just did a lot of bad things. So this is his wife, and she's excited as well, and that he's now wanting to live for the Lord. Pray for our men who teach. Fine was up in the corner, John on the right, and Effie's down below, and they do take care of most of the teaching. Fine was continue to work on Bible lessons. He's working now. He's finished up the book of Revelation, and now he's working on Philippians. So we kind of teach chronologically through the New Testament and see the church grow that way, and they've been just going, as the teaching's going on, they've been going through the book of 1 Corinthians, just finished up 1 Corinthians. Pray for these ladies. They also help with the Sunday school teaching, that they'd continue to be faithful to teach the kids and to come out. And we've had some opportunities to go out. There's been another mission, a Swiss mission, that I believe teaches a gospel message, but often these people have been left behind with nobody to really teach them. And they've been wanting Bibles, and so a number of the men can actually read in the trade language. So somebody sent us some money, and we were able to purchase some Bibles, and so you see them holding them there. And actually, some of you who go south would know Carrollwood Bible Chapel. Some of you might know that down in Tampa. We just happened to visit on our way back there, and they decided to make, these ladies all made these nice little Bible cases, and they're especially good for when it's raining. So there's been two groups that have asked us to come and to teach, and they're from another group, and they don't have much teaching. So we're kind of excited, actually, to be able to get alongside of them. They really have an interest in just following the Word of God. So keep praying for the people. They come out to Sunday and Wednesday nights meetings, that they'd be faithful in coming. Pray for them also that they would be willing to reach out to their neighbors. And it's just been exciting to see some of these young men begin to read the Word of God and see Christ working in their lives, where they would welcome one another into the meeting. And it's just a different way of life for them. Again, this guy on the right side here, he's just gotten saved recently. And his name basically in the tribal language is Know-It-All. And everybody goes, oh, Know-It-All, you know. And he's been very loud, and people don't like him. But praise the Lord, he now has a different testimony. We have good times of fellowship. Here's some of the food. We get together, and of course everybody comes for food. And it's just been exciting again to see them come together in times of fellowship and realize they're from different clans and be able to get together. This lady here, she's so animate when she teaches, and she works a lot with the kids, and she really knows them well, and she's with them every day. And it's been good to see her teaching. We put on for the village leader, some of his children aren't saved, but some of them come to know the Lord. They've asked us to put on a computer class for them, because some of them have been learning, gone out to schools and whatnot, and then off to a few of them gone off to college. So one of our believers, we taught her, and she takes care of that. So that's her teaching the computer class. Not too long ago, one of our believing men died, and of course he had a lot of friends from his old life, and they came out and they were really upset with his death. But at least for a couple days, 250 to 350 people came out, and we were able to teach and share about God's word. And as a result, we were able to move into the next village, because this one lady came out and she just told the rest of her family, she said, we need to hear him. We need him to come and teach in our village. So it was just at the edge of the next village, and the Lord opened doors there for us to come teach. This is a brother on the right side of the guy who died, and I talked to him many times about his need of Christ and not to put it off, and he had put it off. And he had actually come up to me and he said, my brother's body is down the hill here, could you come and get it with your car? And I said, sure. So the guys went in and got the body. They were gone for a few minutes, and I had an opportunity to talk to him again. And it wasn't right away that he trusted Christ as Savior, but after about 2 weeks, he finally realized that he was lost and on his way to hell, and that his brother was saved and on his way to heaven. And it's, when you're in a small meeting like that, his brother who had died was just, he had given his testimony and got a few chances to get up front, and he was just a natural up front. And he had asked me, he said, is there any way that I can be a part of the church here and somehow teach others too? And anyway, the Lord sought to take him home, and we're just praying for this guy here, Gigi, that he would continue on trusting the Lord and walking with him day by day. This is just one of the feasts at a funeral, and I just took the picture, put it in there. It's called the mumu, or in Hawaii, a luau. And the leaves are all off. The dirt that's covered on top of it is all off. And there's the pig. And the food is actually very, very delicious. I really like eating one. And this is a gal that's named after Jennifer's middle name is Rebecca. So this is Rebecca. And this is, she's got lamb flaps. Lamb flaps is the ribs off of lambs. And so anyway, I just had to take a picture of there, because she decided to run ahead and dig in the pot right away and get her chunk of meat. Not too often do they get to have meat there. So here we are in a neighboring village, and here I'm teaching on the law, and love to pick up my kids to help me do some illustrations to help to get a message across. And the Lord really opened doors as we taught there, And the guy who's acting out Abraham, we finished and we talked a little bit about what we had taught after we taught for 2.5 months. And the guy who's standing up there was the first guy to trust the Lord. And so it's really been neat. And that's his nephew laying on who's playing Isaac. But it just really helps them. Their eyes really, things really click as you try to act out a little bit about what had happened that day when Abraham was about to kill Isaac. So here they are. This is typical. They come from on top of the mountain, walking down on these slippery old mountain trails and muddy steps. And we thought the family had asked us to come. It was a family of about 15. And when we began teaching, basically there was usually somewhere around 50, 55 people out each day. So that was exciting. So like I said, the guy up on the left side and the lady on the right were the first two people. After that, I haven't heard whether there's some people who really... who are really keen. But again, most of these people are from a certain denomination. You can figure out who it is, but they all worship on the Sabbath day. But one of the guys said to me, he said, "We're just jokers." He said, we don't really believe in God. We just pretend we go to church and that we're really, but he said, "I'm really glad you came and taught here because we can tell what you taught." He said, "My dad's been taking the lessons and going through the Bible again." And he says, "There's nothing you've taught that we can say is false." So that's exciting. This is at Wycliffe. Wycliffe, we're kind of in the middle of New Tribes Mission is 50 minutes one direction, and Wycliffe is probably about 40 minutes the other direction. So we go down. They're mostly working with the translation now, and this guy here. And so they get me to check because I actually have spent more time in the language. He doesn't know the language as well, so he gets me to come through and check how things are going and maybe how things could be said differently and using, make sure all the key words match. And we got to that point finally where we had to have a little time for goodbye, and one afternoon the believers got together and they said their goodbyes to Jennifer. So traditionally what they do is the ladies make these string bags and they came and gave them to Jennifer. And if you saw the next picture, which I'm not allowed to show you, I'm tabooed, Grant, from doing that. My daughter said, "No, you can't show that." The place was basically starting to flood with tears. So anyway, the lady on the right, she started crying, and then Jennifer, she joined right in there, and it was quite a sobbing world. But she's been there for a long time. On the left-hand side, she's just 3 years old, going on shortly after four. And so she's been there for quite a while, and she's definitely our tribal girl. She's, run around in her bare feet and stuff like that and hard to get, but she's been our last one there. But the people just loved all of our kids, loved to see Jennifer, Julie, that's there, all coming down, walking through the village and come visit them or whatever. Here's a lady. Some of them, they come up to me and they, "You're taking my child away from me. I nursed her. How dare you take away my child from me?" And so they usually give me a little slap, and that's when I get a little abused, I guess, by some of the ladies, but then they laugh later. Anyway, so Jen was out at the mission base. This was her graduation, so it was nice for us to get there and to see her graduation. And as soon as her graduation was done, then we got on a plane in Goroka in the mountains of Papua New Guinea, flew down to Port Moresby to the capital, and there we grabbed a plane from there and went to Singapore. And from Singapore, we jumped on a plane. That took us to Qatar, and Qatar over to Belgium to see Mom and Dad. And then from there, we flew to Orlando, and from Orlando, we flew up to Halifax. And that's our little tiny flight around the world. But we thank the Lord for keeping us up in the air. And I'm not sure my wife was looking after her mom tonight, but hopefully we can put some prayer cards at the back. And you guys, I don't know if she put them there or not, but you can avail yourself because we appreciate your prayers. And those of you who tell me your picture's stuck on my fridge and I pray for you, that is appreciated immensely. So please keep your prayers going. I think... What's finish time? 7:30 typically? I got 4 minutes left. Any questions? Or any thoughts?
I just wondered about, you talked about gas expiration. What sort of reaction do you get from the natives there when they come in and start doing it as expiration? Are they for it? Are they against it? Do they hire some of the locals? Is it seen as an invasion? Or what's the reaction of all of that?
Yeah, I think some of the people are just... falsely going back to their, say, if you looked at the mountains where they're going to, which is a long ways, it's probably 20 hours up past us. It's just bad roads. And anyway, you can see little, if you light these little holes of gas, you'll see streams of fire, and they'll say, oh, that's the gods or something. But I don't think they've had anything to do with that. But they're worried that the government does its typical thing and doesn't help out. But the government has said, we want to move ahead, so get out of the way, or we'll move you sort of thing. And LNG project, they're the ones who, yeah, with Canadians, Americans, whoever's in there, they've started the project there, and they've probably taught close to 4,000 people to work at the mines or to do the work that needs to be done there. And I think in the schools and stuff like that, the companies are actually, from my viewpoint anyway, I don't know a lot, but they're actually doing a good thing. And there's Dave McDonald, some of you guys know Dave and Esther McDonald. Dave said he got on a plane, now I'm in Papua New Guinea, he said, I got on a plane with 65 New Guineans who got trained in Cape Breton, Nova Scotia. So there's probably about 300 and some have been taught over here, and the companies are doing that for them. So it's not all bad, for sure, but some of them look at them going by, and it's become this culture of sitting by the road and being lazy and playing cards a lot and waiting for a truck to come by, and of course, these machines need to be fueled, and so when they're going by, they wave at their buddies, and their buddies stop with these big trucks of fuels, and then they fill up their containers with fuel so they can sell fuel inside the road. And so it's a lot of black markety sort of things happening, and a lot of things that are really difficult for our believers, because we live on a windy section of road, and cars or trucks sometimes tip over. And it doesn't matter what denomination it is, everybody goes and takes, because they say, this is free. Once the truck turns over, it's free. And so Fine was really funny, because Fine was very direct, and he goes, he sees some of them running on the Sabbath day. He goes, where are you guys going? Oh, it's for free. Oh, who said it was for free? Hey, yeah, you guys help yourselves. You guys are the thieves of the village. And he's pretty straightforward, because he knows that they're stealing. And so our people have really become, some of the people have become to live a very pathetic life. Like, rather than going to the gardens, some of the men have said to me, I don't even know how they live, because sometimes they don't go to the gardens. Who sneaks up to get some food? He said, they just sit there beside the road playing cards, and all of a sudden something happens, and they go run there and see what's happening. So the life on the highway is very different from the life further out in the bush. So if you can picture a wiggly little road highway going through our tribe, and then way out around is people living further off the roads. But even then, they're kind of coming in closer to the roads, finding out what's going on. And so there's a lot of fighting and stuff like that. And especially in that local area, there's a lot of fighting amongst the people who do not want the people in there to see the mining go ahead. So it's kind of a mixed feeling sort of thing, yeah. Yeah. Okay. No more questions, real quick. Okay, yeah.
I guess I just don't have any concept of, like, there's no lots of stores around where they're like shopping. I'm like, where do they get all, like, donated clothes and just come in? Like, where do they get?
Yeah, there's a lot of donated clothes, and through different missions, there's a lot of denominations that are in Papua New Guinea, but there's a lot of companies who would send, they call them clothes bales, and so they're about this big, and the people can actually buy a bale for anywhere between, say, $50 to $100 Canadian dollars. And but yeah, there are stores, like in the towns, there's Australia, New Zealand, China, they all dump some money into helping because it looks good to them, and so they're sending clothes either cheaply or almost free, and then different, sometimes it's taken wrongly, but some people get a hold of it and they're able to sell it in their store, or else it gets to the right places, and sometimes denominations, they sell it for a little bit of money, and sometimes you can actually get in there and they don't know what they actually got, but I know a pair of rock boards sitting in a store here for $159. A guy picked up for $20 at one of those, and the shoe hardly looked used, or a pair of Levi's that cost quite a bit. And so sometimes when we go digging at the new stores that the Australians have, they bring in stuff from China that's not the greatest. But all of a sudden you look through these used bales, and some come from the States, and all of a sudden you got a pair of Levi's that we just saw in the store for $70 or $80 or $90, and you picked it up for $3 or $4. So it's a, yeah, sometimes they don't know what they've got, but anyway, that's how they get some of their clothing, yeah. If you have any other questions, feel free to ask. I'm going to close. I don't know what the snow is doing out there, but I'm going to let you go home. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you for your love to us, and we thank you for the family of God. I thank you for each brother and sister here tonight, and pray your blessing upon them, and continue to make them a blessing to folks here in Charlottetown, wherever you may take them. Those going down to Peru, we just pray for safety for them, and we just thank you for each one. Father, you know who's all been helping out, and we thank you that you know all things, and we just pray your blessing upon each, those who pray, those who give, those who go. We just pray for your watching over them, and again for each one involved in this assembly, we pray your blessing and safety as we return to our homes tonight. Just thank you, Father, for all of your love and all your goodness shown to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.